In today's Mishnah, we're in the 8th and 9th Mishnah, the 2nd Perek Masechta Ediyot. The Mishnah begins, Shlosha Dvarim Amar Rabbi Akiva, the three halachas that Rabbi Akiva said. Ashnaim Hodolo, two, the Chachamim agreed with him, Valachad Lo Hodolo. And the remaining one, they disagreed. So Mishnah says, what were these? The first is Al Sandal Shel Sayadim. So you were referring to plasterers, and they used to wear either in place of their shoes or over their shoes these special wooden, clogs of sorts. So either they would replace them with their shoes so they wouldn't burn their feet or wouldn't harm their feet. Or another understanding is they actually encased and protected their shoes so the leather shoes wouldn't get eroded by the materials they were using. Whichever way you understand these sandal shosayidin, shehu tameh midras. In other words, even though these shoes aren't normally worn as shoes, they're just simply acting as some sort of protecting casing, nonetheless, since on the odd occasion these plasterers would come home and they wouldn't change their shoes, they'd simply still walk home in that gear, then since they acted as shoes, they have the status of shoes, and therefore they can be susceptible to Tameh Midras. If you remember, we said that this is not just like any other kli that is susceptible to Tumah, but rather only those kelim that someone would lie on, lean on, or wear, they're susceptible to this other form of Tumah Midras. So we said, for example, a Zav, who would, say, wear these shoes, the shoes themselves would become an Avot Tumah. The next statement he said is Va'al Sheyarei Tanur Arba. So the ovens in those days, in the times of Mishnah, were made of earthenware. And they were almost like a conical flask, quite a large one, and they were cemented to the ground. Now, Kli Cheres, once it becomes Tama, you can't simply immerse it in a mikveh. There's no real way of removing the Tuma from them unless it is broken and smashed. The question is, how broken does it need to be? So Rabbi Akiva was of the opinion that if what remained was 4 tefachim high, then it would still be tameh. If it was smashed or broken such that what remained was less than 4 tefachim high, then it would be tahor. The reason why Rabbi Akiva said it for the Chachamim, because the Mishnah says Sheyu Omrim, because the Chachamim used to say there had to be, if it was even 3 tefachim high, that would be significant enough that it would still be tameh. But ultimately, the Chachamim agreed to the Rabbi Akiva with respect to these first two halachas. The first regarding the sandal shosayidim, and the second with the dimensions or the height of such a broken tanur that would still be tameh. Balachad lo hodulo. There was another halacha they disagreed with, and what was that? Al kisa shinitla shtei chipuyov ze betzad ze. So here we're dealing once again with that chair. We discussed a chair towards the beginning of Masechta, and this type of chair, the chipuyim are basically the boards that are placed over the frame of the chair on which someone would sit. So we're assuming here that there'd be like three boards, one next to the other. So Mishnah says if two were removed, Zeh besad Zeh, Rabbi Akiva says it would still be metameh. It would still be defined as a kli utensil that is such that it's susceptible to tuma. Despite the fact it wouldn't really be able to be used as a chair to, say, sit on, nonetheless, you can still place things on this chair, it can still act as a kli kibul, meaning it acts as a receptacle. Whereas the Chachamim disagree, they say metaharim. The reason is, since it is no longer fit for its original purpose, it's designed as a chair, and now it's effectively broken, it's considered a shever kli, a broken utensil, and therefore it's not susceptible to tumah. Let's now learn Mishnah Tet. Mishnah begins, Hu haya omer, Rabbi Akiva would say, Ha'av zocher laben benoi bekoach uvosher bechochma uveshanim. In other words, in general, one finds that the son, if you like, inherits from his father these attributes, meaning that if the father has this attribute, you will generally find it in his children. That is, he says, benoi, that is his beauty, how he looks. Koach is his physical strength. Osher is wealth. Chochmah is his wisdom. And beshanim, meaning longevity. And Mishnah then adds, "Of the mispar hadorot lefanav v'hu haketz." Now this, Kati says, this statement is not the Mefarshim had two ways of explaining, but for simplicity we'll stick with Kati, who explains according to Batanura, who explains that sometimes when Hashem would promise something to the father, it might not necessarily come to the children, but it might take a couple of generations until the fixed time for it to be implemented will occur. So this is Mishnah says, Shenema kore hadorot merosh. Mein HaKadosh Baruch Hu is already koveya. He fixes from the outset the goral, exactly what's going to happen to the various generations. So afal pi shenema, and this is the proof of that, afal pi shenema, despite the fact it says, va'avadum ve'inu otam arba'amot shana, despite the fact that Hashem said that Am Yisrael will be in Egypt enslaved for 400 years, and the schud of Avraham Avinu didn't really save them from that fate, nonetheless, v'ne'emar, it's still said, v'dor vi'i yashuvohena, meaning through this promise it will be that they were actually redeemed from Mitzrayim, that fourth generation. And that was a ketz that was going to be fulfilled, that Hashem promised to Abraham, that wasn't necessarily fulfilled initially, but was that fourth generation down the track. That's one way of explaining, understanding the end of this Mishnah. I'll leave the rest of for your own further study, and those are the Mishnah today.